I invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to talk about the prayer, the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer. Today's Father's Day, and it's an appropriate and wonderful thing to set aside a time for to recognize mothers, as we did not too long ago, and then also fathers, as we do today. You know, the Bible says, young people, the Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother. And I say young people, but you know, even those of us that are well, just a little older, we still have, our mothers and fathers may still be with us. And even if they're not with us, you know, we still need to honor the memory of our mother and our fathers, even though they may have already gone home to be with the Lord. Our daily walk, our interface with the world brings either a positive or a negative reflection upon our parents. Does it not? It does. Jesus, the Son of God, loved beyond measure his Father. He honored his Father, was constantly teaching us about his Father, his Father's love for his Son, his Father's love for his creation, and his Father's kingdom to come. The Bible teaches us that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. They are a unity, a perfect triune family of love, and a family that is in constant communication with one another. How much time do you spend in communication, dads, with your wives, dads, with your children? Families need to be communicating with each other. And the Lord was a perfect example of that. Jesus considered daily communication with his Father an absolute priority. Communication is one of the most important things in a family relationship. Fathers and mothers need to be talking first of all with one another and then with their children, fellowshipping with their children and aware of the issues of life their children face day by day. And our children today face some issues that certainly you and I as adults may not have had to face when we were their age. And so we need to be aware of what's going on day by day in the life of our children, dads. Every father and every mother ought to have a personal prayer time with the Lord Jesus, a time during the day that we set aside to talk to our Heavenly Father. We ought to love the Lord so much that we too have the same constant devotion and prayer that Christ had with his Father. So as we turn this morning to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, I will share from verses 6 through 15 that portion referred to so often as the Lord's Prayer. Here at Powhatan, at the closing of Wednesday night prayer time, we always close with the Lord's Prayer. At prayer time on Saturday morning here at Powhatan Church, after our prayer time, we always close with the Lord's Prayer. And so in Matthew 6 and verse 9, the Bible says, "And after this manner," Jesus, the scripture is saying, it says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, this morning we thank you for the opportunity of fellowship. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity of being able to come together and to have a Sunday school program that we can fellowship with others and just learn more about your word. And Father, we thank you for those that are in service to you here at Powhatan, those in the choir, those that come to sing individually, Lord, as Sue this morning and J.E. and Barbara and so many others. Father, we thank you for their talent and we thank you for them being faithful to want to come and to demonstrate and to share, Father, the blessing that you've blessed them with. And then, Father, we thank you for the fellowship this morning that we have. As each and every one has come this morning, I trust to have fellowship with your people, Father, and to learn more about your word, to worship you and praise you in the precious name of Jesus. And so, Father, this morning we ask you to bless. You get praise, get honor, and glory. We ask a special blessing today upon fathers as we celebrate Father's Day today. Lord, you get praise, get honor, and glory, for we ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. And all God's people said, amen. Here in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is in the midst of his Sermon on the Mount. He has been teaching about many things. He's taught about meekness and humility. He's talked about the growth and the judgment of anger. He's talked about the great demands of the law and the weakness of man. He's talked about adultery and divorce. And then he comes to motives, the right motives and the wrong motives for giving, the right motives and the wrong motives for praying. There are many Christians today that are Christians in pretense only. They go through the motions. They are present at church on Sunday mornings, but during the week, we're out in the world where it's most important. They live like the world. They look like the world, and so when they come to church on Sunday mornings, many times or whenever they come to together, many times it's pretense. It's not something that is. It comes from the heart. And God was talking about this very thing. People standing up and praying, just not praying to have a communication with Him, but to be seen of others. Look back at verse 5, if you will. It says, Jesus says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men." Now, we're talking about right motives and wrong motives. Jesus says, "Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." They have their reward. The motive for prayer in this verse is the wrong motive. It is the one thing to be. It's one thing to be rewarded by men. It is quite another to be rewarded by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me ask you a question: which would you rather be rewarded by? Which would you rather be rewarded by? Well, I certainly want to be rewarded by the Lord Jesus. Men's rewards will die out. Men are going to reward. Men are going to applaud as long as you're in the spotlight. But once you're out of the spotlight, they're going to find somebody else to put in the spotlight and to worship and to praise and all that. I don't want the praise of men. I would rather have the praise of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's quite another to be rewarded by God, and it's quite another thing to be rewarded by men. We have often heard the old Jewish phrase, "From my lips to God's ear." From my lips to God's ear, but in a truer sense, prayer ought to be from my heart to God's heart. Prayer should always be from the heart and not merely from the lips. And so God is talking about the wrong motive of prayer here in verse 5. And then in verse 6 he says, "But thou," and he's speaking to you and me as Christians, he's speaking to you too, fathers, "but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee." How? Have you ever had that happen to you? I've had that happen to me a number of times, where you seek God's face. It's just you and the Lord, and you earnestly cry out to the Lord for something that you know is His, would be in line with His perfect will, something that you know He wants to see come to pass. And by, you see that come to pass. We prayed in secret. We took it to the Lord in secret, but we see it come about in open daylight. And so the Lord is wonderful to respond to us when we come to Him with a perfect heart. God wants your undivided attention. That's what God says. Let me read verse 6 again. "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." God wants your undivided attention. You want God's undivided attention. That's the way it ought to be. We ought to be one-on-one with the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ, when He wanted to be alone with His Father, anybody tell me what He did? When Christ wanted to be alone with His Father, where did He go many times? Just say it. He got away. He got away. He would go in the mountains. He would go to some solitary place where He could be alone with His Father, where His Father had His complete attention. Our children, dads, sometimes need our undivided attention. They need time alone with You. And here is the right motive for prayer. Verse 7 says, "But when you pray," Jesus says, "use not vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." You know, I find myself so many times as I go to lunch, or when Martha and I sit down for dinner, I find myself stumbling over this very thing. We say the same prayer over and over again. Now, there's many times that Martha and I'll sit down at our dinner table, and there'll be specific things that we want to ask God about. But when in fact we're out and about and we sit down for dinner, our prayer is usually a very brief prayer. "Thank you, Lord, for this blessing. Thank you, Lord, for this day." But sometimes I feel guilty about that because I repeat the same things. And I wonder, you know, why don't we take this time, if we're going to the Lord, why don't we take this time to lift up somebody? Why don't we take this time to lift up our family, lift up someone in our family that's probably facing a particular issue? Repetitious prayer. It's good for little people, but when you are grown in the Christian faith, there ought to be... Do you want your children, fathers, to come to you and ask you in the same for something the same way, or come to you every time they come to you, it's the same thing. Now, well, I suppose that's a poor illustration, but you get the point. God wants your heart. God wants to hear what's on your heart. He doesn't want to hear just the words. He wants to know what burden you have on your heart. And by the way, he already knows that, and Jesus is going to tell you that. But it says, when you pray, verse 7, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Prayer for the sake of prayer is no prayer at all. If you have something to share with God, you need to share it. Pour your heart out to Him. But don't just pray vanity prayers. Be specific. If you want to praise God, praise Him. If you need something or even want something of God, tell Him so. Don't beat around the bush. God wants to communicate with you. No father can read their children's minds. Only God knows what's going on in every mind and in every heart. We may not be able to read our children's minds, dads, but we certainly would like for them to come to us and spell it out plainly what they're looking for. And don't beat around the bush and don't ho-hum and whatever. I can't help my children if they're not talking to me, if they're not talking clearly to me. And it's the same way with God. God wants you to speak to Him. He wants to know what's on your heart. Verse 8 says, "Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask Him." Isn't that wonderful? Your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. And so Christ says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Hallowed be thy name. If you've been born again, if you've received Christ as your Lord and Savior, God the Father is your Father, just as He is Christ's Father. He dwells in heaven and is the provider of all good things. I like what Paul tells James in James chapter 1, verse 17. Listen to this. And that I could be this kind of father. Listen to this. Listen to what James says about the Father. "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." When you go to your father, when you go to your mother, young people, you would like to know that they're going to be the same person today as they were yesterday. You want to know that they're going to have the same standards that you're to meet today as they had yesterday. You don't want them changing the boundary lines. You want them to be firm, and you want to know what the measure of their obedience to them is going to be. What is it that you want me to do, and what is it that you don't want me to do? That's true. Well, that's the way it is with God. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Aren't you thankful this morning that God doesn't change the way that men change, or laws change, or the world systems change? Back some 50 years ago, God's name was reverenced even among unbelievers. But today, God, the creator of heaven and earth, is to the world just another deity in the vast religious universe of deities. But the Bible says that there's only one God, and there's only one creator of us all. There's only one God and one creator of us all. In Isaiah chapter 43, verses 10 and 11, the Bible says, "Ye are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servants whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me." I'm thankful that I know that. And not only do I know that, I hold that as the truth. I hold on to that as the truth. Anybody else wants to talk to me about some other deity? They can talk all they want to, but I'm dedicated to one deity, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father. God says, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. God in Christ Jesus is the Savior of the world. God's name deserves, and God's name deserves honor, and it deserves respect. Hallowed means that very thing. It means reverenced and consecrated. It means holy. It disturbs me so to hear somebody take God's name in vain. Heard a preacher on television take God's name in vain in the pulpit, talking about America. You probably heard that too. I just cringed when I heard that. What is the problem with taking God's name in vain? Why isn't it necessary? I mean, if God is the judge of all the world, why not call on God to judge something? Well, the New Testament teaches us that Jesus Christ didn't come into this world to judge the world, did He? He came to save the world. You and I, and I trust that you never take God's name in vain, as we understand it many times today, asking God to damn this or to damn that, because it corrupts the good news of Jesus Christ. What is the good news of Jesus Christ? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes upon Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God came to save the world, not to destroy, not to judge the world. And so His name ought to be hallowed. His name ought to be reverenced, and His name ought to be considered holy and treated that way. Verse 10 says, "Thy kingdom come." The Lord Jesus Christ cries out to His Father in prayer and encourages us to do that. "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." God provides for our every need. God provides for us physically. And he provides for our physical nourishment, and He also provides for our spiritual nourishment as well. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, God says this, "Man shall not live by what?" That's right. Man shall not live by bread alone. What is God talking about? He's talking about physical nourishment, isn't He? He's talking about physical nourishment. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. How do we determine that? How do we determine which words are from the mouth of God and which are not? Quite a dilemma today. God is a provider of all things. Fathers should be careful to provide first for their families. Fathers ought to be providers for their families. In fact, Paul tells Timothy, as he's writing to him about the establishment of the churches and so forth, he says, "But if any provide not for," speaking about the men of the family, "but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." An infidel, by the way, will spend all eternity in hell. An infidel is an unbeliever. And any man who professes the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior and does not take care of his family, you can question whether he has a relationship. You can honestly question from a biblical standpoint whether that man has a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ or not. Fathers should be careful to provide first for their families. God has a will to be done on earth as He also has in heaven. And one of those for the fathers is to be a provider. Another will of the Father is that His children share His love with others. Verse 12 says, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." You know, the Bible says if we're not willing to forgive others, what does Jesus say about our shortcomings? He's not willing to forgive those. Ours. I mean, I want to fall all over myself to get to somebody if I've hurt them in any way or done something to hurt, to make them feel poorly or make them feel bad. I want to get to them and I want to make that right. I want to make that right. Christ says, "And forgive us," that our prayer ought to be, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors," or those that trespass against us. Verse 13, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Here is one of the most controversial verses probably of the Scriptures. There are many interpretations of this verse. Let me read it again. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Albert Barnes writes that a petition similar to this is offered by David in Psalm 14 or 141, verse 4. So David said, "Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with the workers of iniquity." You get that? David cries out to the Lord, "Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with the workers of iniquity." God tempts no man. That's what the Bible says, James 1:13. This phrase then must be used in the sense of permitting. Do not suffer or permit us to be tempted to sin. In this, it is implied that God has such control over the tempter as to save us from his power if we call upon him. The cry here is that our walk be so close to the Lord that even when our feet begin to veer off the right path, that God would not permit us to venture any further, but would, by whatsoever means necessary, deliver us from the evil way. Fathers must be ever vigilant in their walk, not to lead their children in a wrong way. Let me read for you a poem. It's anonymous. I don't know who wrote this poem, but it's very revealing. It says, "Walk a little plainer, Daddy," said a little child so small. "I'm following in your footsteps, and I don't want to fall. Sometimes your steps are very plain. Sometimes they're hard to see. So walk a little plainer, Daddy. You are leading me. I know that once you walked this way many years ago, and what you did along the way, I really like to know. For sometimes when I'm tempted, I don't know what to do. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for I must follow you. Someday when I'm grown up, you are like I want to be. Then I will have a little child who will want to follow me. I would want to lead just right, knowing I was true. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for I must follow you." Isn't that true? The Lord's prayer for us is, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory." For how long? Forever and ever. Amen. This world's not our home, dads. We're just passing through. But as a father, God has called you to a responsibility that is like that of His responsibility to the church. You know, the scripture says, "Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it." Fathers have a great responsibility. God will hold you responsible. God will hold you accountable for that one of these days. It is Father's Day. The Lord's given us a wonderful prayer to be always aware of our Heavenly Father. And so, dads, as we live each and every day of our lives, we need to be aware of the fact that we have children, and we have not just our children, but we have others that are watching our example every day. "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." One of these days, you and I are going to sit down in that kingdom and rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. And dads, when we sit down, we want to sit down with every one of our children right there next to us, right there with us, our whole family. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Christ is coming soon. Miss Pearl Wood called me yesterday, and she wanted to lay out her funeral arrangements. She said, "Preacher Jim," she says, "I want to be able to," she says, "I would like for you to preside over the wedding, over the funeral." And she says, "And I would like so-and-so to be my pallbearers, and I would like to have so-and-so be in honorariums and so forth." And I said, Miss Pearl, wait a minute. I said, "Suppose the Lord comes and gets us tomorrow. Suppose the Lord comes and gets us this afternoon." She said, "Well, I'll just rejoice about that." But she says, but until that happens, she says, "I need to be ready and I need to be prepared." And that's true. But isn't it something that that some folks believe most of us, I guess, believe that when we leave this world, we're going to leave through the corridor of death. But listen, Jesus is coming soon. And dads, we need to be ready for His coming. And we need to have our families ready for His coming as well. Miss Pearl Wood is a wonderful blessing to me. But I told her, I encouraged her, Miss Pearl, the Lord could come get us today. And that's true. He certainly could. What kind of father are we today? I trust that you're a good father. I trust that you love your children, love your wife. I pray that the Lord richly bless you today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning again, Lord, we thank You for this time. We thank You for Your word. We thank You, Father, for the Lord's prayer. Always reminding us, Father, that there is a Father in heaven who knows everything that goes on in our lives, knows our hearts, knows what's going on in our mind. And Lord, help us to be faithful and diligent about bringing our petitions to You and not beat around the bush, Lord, but to be specific, to come to You, Father, because You want to hear from us. You know what's going on in our hearts and our minds, and yet still you want us to open up our lips and verbalize to you those petitions. So, Father, this morning we thank you for a Father in heaven who loves us. We thank you for a Father in heaven who sends down wonderful gifts, who's the Father of all lights, Father, that you never change. And, Lord, that the same Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that was the same today, he was the same yesterday, and he'll be the same tomorrow. And we thank you for that, Father. Help us to be faithful to serve you in a better way. Bless, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.